Well, that's what we do that for, huh?
Yeah.
We tape them so if you're away, you can hear them. That's good. I wouldn't want to make that an everyday habit, but it's there if you need it. We're in Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. Last week we had a lot of children and we had a lot of cattle getting started. And Jacob and Laban made a deal for 6 more years of work. Laban thinking he made him a really good deer because white cows and white sheep don't make speckled and ring-straked and spotted and grizzled and other kind of cattle very often. So he's sitting there. If the deal is you get all the brown ones, the spotted ones, the grizzled ones, the ring-straked ones and all that, this is going to be a good deal for me. You go, boy. He took him at his humbleness. But God had a different plan in mind. God being sovereign and God being able to work out nature the way he wants to can make white cattle have brown children. He can do it. He knows how to do it. So we see here they made that thing. And then when we get to 31, it says, "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's, he hath gotten all his glory." Now technically, he did not take away anything. He technically, or on purpose, they made a deal, Laban thinking he had the better end of it, and God showing who was in charge of the better ends, and God blessed Jacob by the cattle having brown and ring-straked and spotted and grizzled and all those kind of animals. So it says here, they were saying, he has stolen our father's cattle. He has stolen them. Jacob, listen to this, he says, well, wait a minute. If that's what they're thinking and that's what they're saying, this might not be so good for me. I might have got overblessed here. I might need to look at what's going on. He says, "And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before." Now, for the first 7 years, he was tickled to death. Look, this old boy's working himself to death for one of my daughters. Then he worked 7 more years for the other daughter. He said, "Boy, this is going all right. I haven't paid him a paycheck. I haven't given him any money much. I haven't taken care of him. He took these 2 girls off my hand. I didn't even give him a dowry. Man, and now we've made this deal for 6 more years of work. And there's no way all them cows are going to have spotted and brown and polka-dotted animals." And then all of a sudden, every year goes by, the first year, and they have cat and the sheep have sheep twice a year, cows once a year. And the horses and donkeys, stuff like that once a year. But it seems like the first year they had 2 sets of ewes born, or lambs born, and those lambs were born spotted, ring-straked, grizzled, and everything you could think of. And Laban's sitting there saying, "I don't know how this boy's doing this, but this ain't good." So the next year he says, "Look," because we're fixing to see that he changed his wages 10 times. First he changed his wages for the daughters, then he changed his wages for the other daughter, and now he says, the first year he says, all 4 of them you could have if they did. Then he says, well, maybe just the ring-straked ones. I'm going to keep the other ones. And then the next time they had 2 sets of animals, and then he says, well, they all were ring-straked. Maybe I'll keep the ring-straked and you can have the grizzled ones. And then the next time they all had they're little lambs. They were all grizzled. And he's sitting there scratching his head. Man, no matter how I change his wages, whatever I say he can have, no matter how impossible it is for white sheep to do this, God makes him have them. So Laban is sitting here getting madder and madder and madder, because instead of him growing his white herd out here and Jacob having just a few little old sheep every now and then to go for his wages, there's a big pile of brown and speckled and grizzled sheep over here, and a smaller and smaller herd of white sheep over there. So it says, and he beheld his countenance, and it wasn't toward him as it was before. In other words, he kind of grinned and smiled and kind of acted like he liked him a little bit to begin with, but now he's saying, I can't stand this old boy. He's done figured out a way to make me lose everything I've got. He's taken away my stuff, and I agreed to it. I let him do it. I helped him do it with my greed and my whatever. He says, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy father and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So the 6 years must be just about up. And the Lord says to him, he says, look, you've done everything you said you were going to do. Now, it's time for you to get ready to go back to the house. It's time for you to get your animals. It's time for you to get your wives. It's time for you to get all your children, get your daughter, get on the caravan, and get out of here. The Lord says, I've been with you. I've watched over you. I've taken care of you. But now it's time to go. I'm sure he was kind of homesick for getting back to seeing his dad and stuff like that too. So maybe even Esau, a little bit maybe, not a whole lot probably. And he might even have thought, and maybe, let's see, Rebecca, right? Rebecca maybe is alive, but most likely she's passed on in this time while he's been gone. 20-something years has gone by now, 21 years, and she may have passed on. It says here, and Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto the flock. Now, first of all, we understand that the first marriage was agreed upon to be with Rachel. She was the first wife to be married, even though he consummated it with Leah that night. But Rachel was his first intended wife, so she gets named first here, Leah second. But the reason he calls them in the field, because back at the house, you know how these girls can't stand each other much. Well, I'm not going to meet at her tent, and I'm not going to go over to her tent, and we're not going to meet at your tent because I can't stand to be with her all together in one place. And maybe the other people at the house might hear what's going on, and they might go tell Laban what's going on. So he said, you know, the best thing I could do to keep all the girls from fighting and to keep Laban from hearing, I'll just get the girls to come out to the field, and I'll tell them what's going on out there. So out in the field, there ain't nobody around. Ain't nobody to hear what's going on, nobody to find out what they're saying, and they're on neutral, peaceful ground so that they can't be worried about he's getting the better deal or she's getting the better deal or I wished I was this. And so he says, he called them out into the field under the flock. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before. But the God of my father hath been with me. Even though your daddy is beginning to not like me the way he used to, he's not beginning to be hospitable the way he used to be, my God, the God of my father, has been taking care of me. He's been holding me up. In fact, everything that your daddy has gotten while I've been here, God has blessed him with because I have been here. So he says, he's not being kind to me like he was, but the God of our fathers have been with me and taking care of me and prospered me and also prospered your father. And you know, and now he's going to start telling what's going on. Now I'm kind of thinking that this dream and stuff he's fixing to talk about here, about what he saw in his vision and what God told him in his vision, he probably saw it right back the day before he made this deal with Laban, but he couldn't tell Rachel and Leah because they just might have opened up their mouths and told somebody else. So while he's talking about all the dream and what God showed him in his dream, that probably took place before the 6 year servitude started. But he couldn't tell them because they just might spill the beans and tell him how God's going to make these cows ring-shanked and speckled and spotted and grizzled and stuff like that. So it says here, your father, the lady's father, the girl's father, hath deceived me. That was the first marriage right off the bat. He deceived him and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Now, 10 times could mean a whole bunch. Yeah. Or it could mean exactly 10, because the word 10 sometimes in the Jewish language means for many, many, many times and not necessarily just 10 exactly. But we do know that for the cattle to be changed, for the one wife, there was one changing right there. You married her because you should have married her. Then we had, you can work for the sheep, but first they got to be either grizzled or ring-straked or whatever. And each time they came out, he says, oh no, next year or next time, you get this ones. And next year you get those ones. You don't get them all at one time. He kept trying to figure out a way to steal his cows back. So he says here, your father hath changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. In other words, every year, every time all them little lambs were being born, Laban was getting madder and madder, and his sons were getting madder. These sons figured they had it made. All them cattle on all them hills, they figured, well, those are mine. But now they're getting to be less and less and less. He says, if he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. In other words, everything Laban said, all right, here's what I'll give you. Then all of a sudden God says, all right, they'll all be speckled. And if he said, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. And then thus the God hath taken away the cattle of your father and give them to me. In other words, every trick that Laban did, God paid it back to Jacob. Everything that Laban thought Laban was going to trick Jacob with, God turned it around and gave it right to Jacob. So God hath prospered him and taken away all their father's cattle and had given them to me. And he did it with a fair deal. Well, it wouldn't have seemed fair if it had been me or you doing that, but God made it fair. And then he says, and it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes, and this is starting to be his dream, and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God said unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up thine eyes and see all the rams that leap upon the cattle are ring-shaped, speckled, grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban have done to thee. In other words, in a dream, even though in physical the rams were white, but in Jacob's dream, all the rams that leaped upon the cattle were ring-straight, grizzled, speckled. So that was God in his dream saying, it may appear this is what's going on, but this is really what's going to be taking place. So you don't worry about making a deal with Laban, because if he tells you they're going to be ring-straight, guess what? It's really going to be ring-straight. If he tells you they're going to be grizzled, and that's what you can have this year, then they're all going to be grizzled. You don't worry about making the deal, Jacob. That's what the dream was before he made the deal. God showed him. He sent an angel to speak to him. He says, don't you worry. Lift up your eyes. See that all the rams that leap upon the cattle are ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban... In other words, whatever he tells you, you be okay with it. If he says, here's what I'm going to give you, Jacob, you just smile and say, thank you. I'll work for them because they're all going to be that color or that shape or that size. Then he says, I am the God of Bethel. Remember back when he came across and he stopped and he slept on that place where the ladder was going up to heaven, and he built that little pillar and set it up, poured the oil on it. He says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedst a vow unto me, now arise, get thee out of this land and return to the land of thy kindred. In other words, I'm the one that has kept you all this 20-something years. I'm the one that has protected you all this 20-something years. I'm the one who has now given you wives. I've given you your children. I've given you this cattle. Now it's time to get on back to the house. I told you I would prosper you. I told you I would take care of you. I told you I'd always be with you. I've always been here with you. Now I'm leading you out. Getting you out of this thing. Get back to the land of your kindred. Go back to see where your daddy's at and the rest of your family's at. Because, see, he wasn't from up here in Haran. He was from back there at Bethel, at Beersheba. Beersheba. That's where he came from. And so he says, get back to your kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? In other words, they looked at each other and says, ain't no reason for us to stay here. I mean, you're our husband, and our children belong to you, and the cattle are all yours, and if we went back to daddy's house, there ain't nothing there. He sold us to you. He gave us away. Is there any inheritance, or any portion, or is there anything that we should stay here to look for or to keep? Are we not counted as strangers? And he just pretty well just sold us out from under him. Hasn't he given us to you for wages? And he didn't even give a dowry for us. He didn't even, at the wedding, there wasn't even a sum of money or a dowry or anything put up. He just got tricked into the wedding and tricked into this. and he worked for 21 years for these things, all under trickery and despite and someone tricking him. He says, "We don't have anything to stay here for. We are counted as strangers, for he have sold us and have quite devoured all our money." In other words, if there was anything that was theirs, he wasted it. He either used it trying to keep up his flocks or keep up his lifestyle or whatever it was. Laban had used up anything that might have been their inheritance. And if there was any inheritance left, he was going to give it to those boys. He wasn't going to give any of it to the daughters. The sons of Laban would have got whatever there was, and the daughters would have been left out. He says, he had devoured all our money. In other words, we don't even get nothing when he dies or nothing like that. It's gone. He's done taking care of that. "For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do." In other words, God has taken all his stuff and given it to you. So whatever you want to do, Jacob, if you're ready to go back home, if you want to go back home, we'll go with you. There's no reason to stay here. We're going to get on the way. We're going to be glad to go with you. There's nothing here for us to look for. And then Jacob arose up, and he set his sons and the wives upon camels. So he went to the, undoubtedly he went back to the house or around the tents where everything was. He got up early in the morning, put all of his wives and his children on camels. So he woke up early, he rose up early, got them on the camels, and he carried all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. In other words, he's all right. He got his herdmen together, he got his wives together, he got his children together, he got all his camels loaded up, he got all his herdmen bringing the cattle along the way. They're on their way to from Paddan Aram all the way going back to Canaan land, going on their way. Which was a pretty good size ordeal, I imagine, right off the get-go, and to try to do it without nobody seeing much of it. And we do have a reason that nobody saw much of it. We're fixing to get to it because Laban was off shearing his sheep. I ain't got there yet, but Laban's a 3-day journey away. And all the good sheep that Laban had were a 3-day journey away from all them old rotten sheep that Jacob had. So he had a 3-day head start. Now, of course, he had a whole pile of sheep. 3-day head start is not long when you're on foot. So it says here, he was on his way to his father's in the land of Canaan, and Laban went to shear his sheep. And Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. I don't think Rachel was stealing these images to worship. I think she might have wanted a little souvenir or something, maybe from her dad, what have you. Of course, these images could have either been plates or discs or something to do the stars or soothsaying with or divination with. Could have been anything like that. Or they could have been two little statues of little angel-looking creatures, cherubims or something like that. And so she stole them for whatever reason. I don't believe it was for worship, but she could have been staying around with Jacob for a long time. I don't think she was into that idolatry and worshiping of those things. But undoubtedly she says, if I take my daddy's gods, he can't divine and find out where we went. That may be what was on her mind. I don't know. But I mean, that means you had to put a little stock in the divination stuff. But the thing is, if he ain't got them, he can't do it and he can't figure out where we went. So we're just going to try to put a little voodoo on daddy and take his little bitty images away from him. But that's the one thing he came after. He wasn't worried about the girls. He wasn't worried so much about it. Well, he was worried about the sheep. But he come for them false idols and false gods. That was his pretense. He says, and Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole his images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. In other words, this is not the time to go kiss him and hug him and shake his hands. It's been a great old time. I'm glad to know you. It's been good to be here. Thank you for the girls. Thank you for the children. Thank you for the cows. I'm on my way to the house. Have a great day. He saw that this might not be the time for all that. This just might not be a good time to go hug daddy's neck. So he loads them all up and they slide on out of there, sneaking away. Probably for good reason, because them boys would have probably been hotter than wet hens. they might have been hard to stop if he'd caught them right then and there. If he'd have went and rubbed it in. Y'all, guess what? We're taking everything with us when we go. That would have been bad. So it says here, so he fled with all that he had. And fled being a good word because he was sneaking away, trying not to be seen, getting away by stealth. He fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river, most likely the river Euphrates. That's a big old river. I have yet to figure out how they do those things with all them cattle and stuff, unless they had ferry boats or whatever, or unless it was dry season or whatever. But the Euphrates River is a big river. But it seems to be that the Euphrates is probably what he went over. And he fled and he went over and rose up and passed over the river. And he set his face towards Mount Gilead. And he's heading towards Mount Gilead, and he's got to go at a nice pace. He can't over push the cattle. He can't do too much to them because of the young ones. So he's taking his shepherd time going to Mount Gilead. And they say he probably had done, before he gets caught here, has made nearly 300 something miles. Which is a pretty good trip on foot with your cattle and everything else. But that's by the time he gets caught. And it was told Laban on the third day. So Jacob's been going 3 days' journey. It took whoever figured it out that he was gone 3 days to get to where Laban was. So on the third day, somebody goes and tells Laban, Jacob's gone. He done loaded up the girls. He done loaded up the boys. He done loaded up the camels. He done loaded up the sheep. He's headed to the house. He is gone. And he took his brethren with him. And I'm thinking that was the men that was with him and the helpers and workers that were with him. He took his brethren with him, other Syrians and folks like that, with him. And he pursued after him 7 days' journey. So it was 3 days to get him, 7 days. We're in the 10th day right here, basically. So we're 10 days before he catches him. Excuse me. So he was chasing for 7 days and then overtook him in Mount Gilead. So here's Jacob with his tent pitched over here on Mount Gilead. And it's probably late in the evening, nighttime. They're all settled down. And just about dark, Laban and his bunch shows up. And they pitch on Mount Gilead. So one may be on this little hill over here, and the other bunch is over on this little hill over there, and they're all settled down for the night, sleeping, resting, and getting ready. And in the morning, could you imagine Jacob? He wakes up in the morning, goes outside. Uh-oh. There he is. He says, and God came to Laban. And this is a good thing. I'm always puzzled about this. And God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night. We know that he didn't worship God that much. He mostly was an idolater. He had all false idols and stuff like that. But that don't mean God can't speak to you. Remember Nebuchadnezzar and some of those other folks? God can speak to whoever he decides he wants to speak to. He can use whoever he wants to speak to. And he says, and God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed. And that should have scared your socks off right there. Take heed. Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Now when they have their conversation, to me it sounds like he's getting all over him, but undoubtedly God's idea of good and bad ain't quite as far as I'm thinking. I'm just thinking, he talked rough to him. That's pretty bad right off the bat. You know, you stole my kids, you stole my family, you stole my sheep. That sounds like bad talk to me. But it says, you be careful. You make sure that you don't talk to Jacob either good or bad, because Jacob's doing just what I told him to do. Jacob is right where I told him to be at. Jacob is right now in the will of God. All of it, all the way. Hook, line, and sinker. He said, you make care that you don't speak either good or bad to this man. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount. And Laban and his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done? Well, hello, you know what he did. He loaded up his stuff to go to the house. He's getting away from you. But what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? He sold them to him, and now all of a sudden he's going, "These are my babies, my girls. What have you done? You've taken them away from me. You've stolen them. Don't you know that I love them and I care for them and I really want them to be with me at the house?" Boy, that Laban's pouring it on. He says, "You've stolen them away unawares of me and carried them away and as captives taken with a sword." In other words, you took them by force, basically. You just stole them. "Wherefore? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, that didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away in mirth and with song, with tabret and with harp?" Wait a minute. He said, "Look, we'd have thrown a party. If you'd have just told me you wanted to go home, if you'd just told me you was tired of being with me, man, we'd have thrown a big old picnic. We'd have put some roast on the burner. We'd have some burgers and fries. We'd have got the band out. We'd have played some music. We'd have got the perfumes and all out. I'd have just thrown you a party and a half if you'd have just told me what you wanted to do." Now, you believe all that, right? But that's what he's telling him. He said, "Look, we'd have had, I'd have sent you away with mirth or happiness and laughter and songs and tabrets and with a harp. And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters?" And he's talking about his grandsons, naturally, and his granddaughter. "And hast thou done foolishly in so doing?" Wait a minute. I think he did too foolishly, because God told him to do it. But he's trying to, "Look, you did this all the wrong way, bro. I wanted to kiss my girls. I wanted to hug them and be able to tell them how much I loved them before they left, and tell them that I'm going to be waiting on them and taking care of them and watching out for them. I wanted to hug and kiss my grandsons, and I wanted to tell them how much I love them and all this." The only thing he cared about was his cows. He's doing this story about what I would have done, could have done. I want myself to look good right now. "That I would have, you have done foolishly in what you've done. It is in my power," Laban still speaking, "power of my hand to do you hurt." That's pretty brave right there. It's concerned that God told him, don't speak bad or good to him. Just be kind of conversive. But he says, "Do you understand? It is in my power, the power of my hand to do you hurt." In other words, you stole my girls. I could hurt you for that. You stole my grandchildren. I could hurt you for that. But actually, they're not his girls. They're Jacob's wives. They're not his kids. They're Jacob's children. So he's sitting there making this idle threat. I could hurt you for what you're doing. And actually, all that he says he had belongs to Jacob. He bought it, lock, stock, and barrel. He owns it every bit. He says, "I could do thee hurt. But the God of your father..." He wasn't worried about his gods right now. He wasn't thinking about his gods. He said, "But the God of your father, the real God, the living God, the holy God, the God of your father, spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad." In other words, if that God that you worship, if that God that your father worships, if he hadn't have told me in a dream to be careful, I'd done been all over you. Them cows would already be heading back to the house. I don't know about them girls and them kids, but them cows would have been heading back to the house. He says, "But God told me not to speak to you good or bad. And now, thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore lodgest after thy father's, longest after thy father's house. Yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods?" In other words, I can understand you wanting to go home, and I can understand you wanting the girls, and I can understand you wanting the boys, but what in the world did you steal my gods for? Huh? Jacob saying, "I ain't took no gods. I ain't took no statues. I ain't took no idols. I ain't took none of that stuff." He says, "And now thou wouldest needs be gone because of the sore longest after thy father's house. Yet therefore thou hast stolen my God." So he's accusing Jacob of stealing his idols. He's accusing Jacob of taking his false gods. He's accusing Jacob. And Jacob's sitting there, I know good and well, I ain't took one single thing that don't belong to me. Everything I took, them girls, them boys, my daughter, all these sheep, I haven't stolen one single idol. I haven't stolen anything from you. So he's all puffed up and he's wanting to get back and bark back. He says, so let's see what he says. You stole my God. And Jacob answered and said, Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force the daughter from me. In other words, I had to sneak out because I was scared of you. Even though I knew God was with me, God was directing me, I snuck out because I was afraid of you. You might hurt me. You might hurt the children. He says, peradventure, thou wouldest take them by force from me with whomsoever thou findest. Now, you see, this is where he's getting a little bit bold. With whosoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. That's pretty sure that you don't have them.
Yeah.
That's not even taking consideration somebody else might have them. Somebody else might have taken them, even though we know they don't worship them gods, even though they don't like them. Maybe they were trying to do something to get back at their daddy, whatever. But he says, whosoever you find those gods with, shall they not live? And one commentator says, we know that Rachel took them. One commentator says that she died during childbirth with Benjamin. She didn't live out a good long life. Because maybe this covenant right here that David, that he made, possibly might have reflected on that. But most commentators say there's not enough evidence for that to be on. But it's a thought that might go through your head when you first read it. It says, Rachel died pretty early. Died during childbirth. And Jacob had made this thing. So if you, whoever you find them with. Well, he didn't find them. So that takes care of that part. But whoever you find them with, let them die. Let them be taken care of. He says, for our brethren... Before our brethren discern, thou that what is thine with me, and that take of thine, for Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen the images. So he says, look, here's the tents. Here's our suitcases. Here's all of our stuff. If you want to, you go start wherever you want to, and you search every room, every house, everybody's stuff, and if you find them, you show it to me. You bring your guys in. We ain't afraid. It ain't just you. Bring your men in with you. And you look at all this stuff and you discern if I have taken one single thing that's not mine. If I stole one cow or one horse or one anything, one tent even, if it's not mine, you let me know. And Laban went into Jacob's tent first. Naturally, he wanted to get Jacob. If at all possible, Jacob's the one he wants to get. He wants to take Jacob out of the picture. He said, if he stole my gods, I got him. I've got him right now. So first of all, he goes into Jacob's tent. And then he goes into Leah's tent. Because I think maybe even Laban kind of liked Rachel a little bit too, because she's the one who took care of the sheep, did things around, stuff like that. So he said, and then he went into Leah's tent and into the two maidservants' tents, Bilhah and Zippah. He's saving that youngest daughter for last. He's doing his best not for it to be her. He's done went to Jacob, to Leah, to Bilhah, to Zippah. And then, of course, naturally, he's going to end up at Rachel's house. And then he says, and he found them not. Then he went, when he went out of Leah's tent, he entered into Rachel's tent. Now, Rachel's pretty swift here. Now, I don't know if she was actually sitting on this saddle, camel furniture or not, but saying that she had been in her womanly position, the man wouldn't have touched it anyways because they just wouldn't have been around that thing. But she says here, now Rachel had taken the images. Now, this would have been God telling us this. Now, Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture, either in the saddle or in the cloth that the saddle rests on the animal. But anyways, it was in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. In other words, I'm going to sit on this saddle. I'm going to sit on top of these images. Now, if she had any respect for these images whatsoever, she had never sat on them because she would have expected them to be real gods or have deity or whatever. So she's showing that she has no worshiping of these things. But she says, right now, somebody's going to die if I don't do something here real soon. And I'm going to put these in the camel's furniture, and I'm going to sit on the camel's furniture. So she says she sat upon them, and Laban searched all the tent and found them not. Says, but she sat upon them, and she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee. For the custom of women is upon me. And he searched but found not the images. In other words, I'm at my time of the month. Please don't make me get up. Please don't make me have to move around right now. Please let me stay seated. And because she was there in her time of the month, he respected that, and he didn't want to get nowhere near that saddle. So he searched all around, did the best he could, but he could not find the images. Then Jacob gets a little prouder. He gets a little perky. He says, well, looky here. We've done turned everything all upside down. Nobody's got no images. It's time for me to get back. Time for me to do a little finger pointing and a little shouting here. And so Jacob says, and Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. In other words, I got some things to tell you now. He all of a sudden got pretty brave. He still got, this Laban still got a whole pile of guys here with him. But he says, you didn't find nothing that wasn't mine. You didn't find the images. So I'm going to tell you something, brother. I want you to know something right now. He said, he got mad. He chode with him, Laban and Jacob. And he answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? Come on. If I did something, show me. Tell me what I did. Prove it. You done searched through everything there is. You couldn't find a thing. Now, what have I done? I worked for you all 20-something years, and I always did everything I could to do everything I could for you. I never once tried to take advantage of you. I never once let you take a loss. If an animal got eaten or killed or anything else, I replaced it myself. I took the loss of it. You tell me what my trespass is. What is my... Ooh, there's a word. Sin. He was even mad enough to say, what is my sin? What did I do to you that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? In other words, you didn't just take your time. As soon as you heard what was going on, you got red-faced, you got angry, you got mad, you got your bunch of guys together with swords, sticks, whatever you needed, and you ran over to where I was. Because if you'd have took your time, you'd have never caught me. If you'd just been moseying along, I just kept on moseying along ahead of you. But instead, while I'm being with these sheep going slow, you've been coming on after me as hard and as fast as you could come. You hadn't even laid down to rest good. You've been after me hotly. You pursued after me. Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found? Come on, tell me. Come on. You looked through everything, right? He says, what have you found of all my household stuff? In other words, they opened up the pots, the pans, they looked in the cupboards, they looked in the flour, they looked everywhere. They looked at everything. He said, in all of my household stuff, what did you find that was yours? Just tell me one thing, anything. Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, in other words, his workers, his helpers, and your workers and your helpers, that they may judge betwixt us. In other words, if you've got anything to put down there, now's you got your guys here, my guys here, we've got plenty of witnesses right here, now's the time to show it. And Laban said, oh boy, I ain't got a single thing I can show. I mean, the fact is, and the truth of the matter is, all them cows are yours. The fact of the truth of the matter is, you bought them two girls right there. I gave you the two maids with them when they got married to you. And all those kids, tell you the truth, they're yours. Even your granddaughter's yours. What did you find? He says, this 20 years have I been with thee. 20 years. That's a long time. 20 years I've been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast off their young. In other words, Very seldom did you ever lose one in childbirth. Every time that they were, twice a year, every time your ewes and lambs were supposed to come, almost 100% of the time they had them. The whole time I was with you. You lost very few animals because of childbirth. You lost very few that got cast off. And thy she-goats have not cast their young. In other words, God has been prospering you and prospering you and prospering you since I've been here for 20 years. What you have now, this back there at the house is white. You got that because I was with you. And yeah, I took these grizzled, speckled, and ring-streaked and all those, but you still got a big old herd of white ones back there at the house. God blessed you with. None of them cast off their young. And the rams of thy flocks have I not eaten. In other words, I could have been eating rams ever so often to have myself a barbecue or whatever, but instead I've been probably eating pottage still. Him and them girls have been eating pottage while the Laban and his bunch have been eating rams every year. He said, I haven't even eaten your rams. I haven't even taken advantage of your yearlings that you get rid of every year. He says, I have suffered that you might get everything you want. He says, that which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. In other words, I didn't bring that eaten one or tore up one that a lion or a coyote or something got a hold of. I replaced it with one of mine. I took care of it with whatever money I could scrape up, doing whatever I could do. I never let you lose one single thing. I bared the brunt of it. He was a good worker. He says, that which was tore, I bear the loss of it. And of my hands didst thou require it. In other words, Laban looked at him and says, look, you lose a lamb, you got to replace it. You lose a sheep, you got to replace it. You lose, I don't care if it gets eaten by a coyote, whatever. I don't care if you lose sleep. I don't care what's going on. Whatever you lose while you're out there, you're in charge of it. You replace it. Whatever was stolen, whether day or night. Thus, I was in the day and by drought consumed, and in the frost by night, and my sheep departed not from, and thy sheep departed not from mine eyes. In other words, regardless of how cold it was, regardless of how hot it was, no matter what was going on, I made sure I took care of your sheep. I didn't take a sick day. I didn't take a vacation. Even when my kids were being born, I was out here watching your sheep. Whatever was going on, I was taking care of you. 20 years. I know this is pretty good, but we got to stop right there. So who's my marking spot person? We're at verse number what? 40, 41? Mark that spot.
41.
Mark that spot, and we'll start back over there next Wednesday. It was a good thing God was with him, taking care of these things. Brother Neil, would you pray for us, please?
Most gracious.